Morning, everyone. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. My thoughts this morning will start there. Lisa and I were not here last week. We were down in Springfield, Illinois. My stepmother had passed away a week before that, and we were down there for her funeral. So, you know, the eclipse was on Monday. Springfield is pretty close to the path of totality of darkness, and we decided we're going to stay over. And on Monday morning, we'd get up and drive down about 2 hours south there. It was a place called Mount Vernon. We'd drive there, and we'd watch the eclipse. I was a little worried because I thought, it might be terrible traffic, could be a big traffic jam and everything, but we were going to go for it anyway. We had never seen a total eclipse, and we really wanted to. So we started south on that morning and on I-55, and it was nice. There was hardly any traffic at all. We thought, this is pretty good. And we hit I-64 going east, and it was packed. I mean, cars both directions as far as you could see. Creeping along, but it was moving, so we jumped in line and creeped along, and after a while it kind of thinned out. Once you got into the path there, people started getting off. Anyway, we got to Mount Vernon, went to a local park there, secured a spot with a couple hundred other people, and watched the eclipse. And it was pretty spectacular. I don't know if you've seen a total eclipse, but it was pretty neat. Temperature dropped probably 10 degrees at least, and I always wondered, is it going to be dark? Totally dark, you know, or like at nighttime and you can see all the stars and everything. So at the point of the total eclipse, it lasted about three and a half minutes where we were. It was pretty neat. You could take your glasses off and you could look at the sun. You could see it dark. It was not dark outside, like total dark, like nighttime. It was like right after the sunset, you can still see the blue sky and there's light in the west there, but it's kind of dim all around you. That's the way it was all the way around. There's blue sky all the way around. You could see it, but it was just kind of dim, but it was still pretty neat that you could see something like that. Mark and I were texting a little bit after that, and he said, all I can say is it was an awesome God. We have an awesome God to have the power of this sort of thing. So if you get a chance, you should try and see a total eclipse. That started me thinking on my topic. That's the whole point of that story. I just said it in a couple of words, but I wanted to tell the story. So I have some random thoughts this morning about darkness and about light. I have a lot of scriptures and only a little bit of clever but confused commentary. I had not realized there were so many scriptures related to darkness and light in the Bible, but there are. There's a lot. So I wanted to look at them. I had two questions that kind of popped into my head. After that, of course, there was a whole lot more. But the two main questions I had in my head, the first one was referring back to Genesis 1:1. It says, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And I said to myself, did God create the darkness? Did God create the darkness when he created the heavens and the earth? Or was it just already there, and he created these in this darkness of nothingness? I know it's kind of a weird question, but I thought, did God create this darkness? Is it there because there's nothing there, including light? Isn't darkness just the absence of light? I mean, light is something. Mark gave his talk on about what it was, and it was something. But is darkness something, or is it just the nothing, the lack of everything? But then, did God create the darkness? I think God answers the question himself in Isaiah 45. We have God talking to Cyrus the Great. He's going to use him for his purposes. And he says in Isaiah 45:6, I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. So God answers that question. He creates darkness. It is something, and he creates it out of nothing. So we have God creating the heavens and the earth and the darkness, and he's floating. The Spirit of God is hovering over the faces of the water. So then, that brings me to my second question. Is darkness basically bad? Is it inherently evil? Light is good, and darkness is evil, right? We have these two things. We as humans have always felt that way. I mean, I don't know if it's something that's part of our nature or something that we learn as a childhood. We're afraid of the darkness.
Because that's where the boogeyman hides,
and that's where demons and monsters hide and jump out and drag us away. So darkness is evil, and mostly to us humans. Also in the scriptures, darkness is associated with evil, especially, or mostly associated with evil. I think we have to refine that question to answer it. And we have to refine it to physical versus spiritual. And that makes the answer much easier to the question. In the beginning, there was heaven, earth, water, and darkness. And they weren't bad, or they weren't good, they just were. And God dwelt there in the darkness. We have other places in the scripture where we have God dwelling in darkness. Go to Exodus 20, we find the people, the Jews, they've come out of Egypt, they're standing near Mount Sinai, and in verse 20 he says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin.' So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was." God had come down on Mount Sinai, there was darkness there, there's a cloud, and when he spoke to Moses in 34, verse 34 and 5, he was also wrapped in darkness of a cloud. We have God residing in this darkness. We have something similar in 1 Kings 8. God is descending in a cloud. Solomon is there dedicating the temple that he has just built for him. 1 Kings 8:12 says, "Then Solomon spoke, 'The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever.'" So originally, remember, when Moses would go and talk to God, there's the tent or the tabernacle of meeting. He would go in there and a dark cloud would descend down and God would be in that cloud. And Moses would talk to him and ask him questions and find out what he was supposed to do. So now Solomon has said, you don't have to dwell in that dark cloud anymore. I have built you a temple of light. Now you can dwell in light, not in darkness anymore. Also, if we go to Psalms 97, David writes, "The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne." Jump back into Psalm 18, it says, "He," which is God, "made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the sky." So we see in several places in the scriptures, God is described as dwelling in darkness. So darkness can't be bad or evil if God is dwelling there. It's not evil to man either in some cases. You notice what's happening here when he's descending this cloud in this darkness. What he's doing is he's protecting man. He's protecting his creation. He told Moses that when Moses asked him in 33, he wanted to see God in all his glory. And God said, "You can't. Man cannot see me and live." So he stuck him in a crevice and let him see his back as he walked by. I have to say this here because it's always a little thing. I said, I have a weird mind. I just wonder if God had clothes on. I don't know. It's just made in our image, or we're made in his image. So, yeah. It's weird. So God used darkness to protect his creation, to protect his people from harm. So in that way, darkness is good because it's protecting us. However, in general, it appears that darkness does refer to evil. Okay. But again, we have to talk about, or we have to qualify spiritual darkness versus physical darkness. There's a verse, Psalm 107:8. I threw in a lot of verses here because, I didn't include nearly all of them, but I have a lot of them here because they just sounded very profound to me. Psalm 107, verse 8. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. So, looking at this, Christ is light. We know that Christ is light because we have several verses that tell us. John 8 says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And then in chapter 9, 5, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So we know that Jesus is light. And if darkness is the absence of light, then darkness is evil because it's the absence of Finally, we go to Psalm 139, and David is speaking to God. He says in verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Oh, where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Once I read that, of course, there's a whole lot of other questions in my head. How can darkness and light be the same to God? If darkness is evil and light is good, how are they alike to God? Well, the only way that I can say is that it's not referring to their properties and stuff. They're referring to that God created both. He controls both, and he uses both to do his will. Darkness and light alike. So this is a little bit about darkness. Let's go back and look at Genesis 1 again and go on. Next verse, verse 3 and 4. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So God creates light, and it's good. He didn't say it was good. He just saw that it was good. He knew that it was good because it was his creation. That word for good there, I had to look that up in the Vine's commentary because I wanted to know what really did it mean when he said it was good. Well, that was a mistake because they have a lot there. The word, the Greek word is tobe, T-O-B-E. And I'm going to read this here because it's kind of long. It's good as an adjective in the widest sense, used likewise as a noun, both in the masculine and the feminine, the singular and the plural, also as an adverb, meaning beautiful, best, better, bountiful, cheerful, at ease, fair, in favor, fine, glad, graciously, joyfully, kindly, kindness, like, loving, merry, pleasant, precious, prosperity, ready, sweet, wealth, welfare, well-favored. It means a lot of different things. But I think the general point is that God was pleased with his work. His work, he had made the world, he had made the darkness, he had made the light. And he said, I'm pleased with all that I have done. Remember when he created the heavens and the earth and the darkness was on them, he didn't say, or he didn't say, saw that it was good, but it was. It wasn't evil. So then there's the other question. It's the eternal question that everybody debates. I'll go into a little bit here. And the question is, where did that light come from? What was that light? It wasn't the sun, moon, and stars, because they won't be created for another 4 days, 3 days in day 4. So there's lots of theories here. I will go through some of them, and then you can decide. If you haven't already pondered it in your head. I had not, actually. One theory is that it comes from angels because they're depicted as emitting light in several places. In Acts 12 and 7, Peter's in prison. It says, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him and a light shone in the prison. So wherever these angels are, there is this light. It doesn't explain what that light is, but they're saying that that light could come from angels. However, there's no mention of any angels in here, so I don't see how that could be. So now we have the weird suggestions. And Ephraim the Syrian in the 4th century was a theologian in Edessa, Syria. He speculated that the first light was like a huge bright mist or a pillar of fire. Remember when they were going, when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt. They were led by a pillar of fire in the daytime. And that day three, that ended, and it was repurposed into the sun, moon, and stars. Basil of Caesarea, also in the 4th century, was a bishop of Caesarea in Cappadocia. He says that God created the essence of the sun without creating its substance until day four. It's kind of hard to get your head around. So there's a man named Matthew Poole in the 17th century, was an English Puritan, a theologian, and a Bible commentator. He believed the light on the first 3 days of creation week was some type of bright cloud, just like the first one, which moved across the earth, and again, it was later repurposed into making the sun move and stars. Notice the theme there is that whatever this was, it was taken and it was used to make the sun, moon, and stars. I think these are people just trying to come up with answers to questions that we really don't have answers to, and that are not really relevant to our faith. But there are a couple of theories that are a little more plausible, shall we say? In something called the Midrash Bereshit Rabbah, it's a commentary on Genesis by a group of Babylonian rabbis in the 6th century. They thought the light was a physical manifestation of God's, what they call the Shekinah, which is the glory of God. The Hebrew word Shekinah is an English transliteration of a Hebrew word meaning dwelling or settling and denotes the presence of God in a place. We have that and we see that in several verses. In Exodus 40, it says, "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting." Remember, Moses is there. "And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." 2 Chronicles 7, it's similar. "When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offerings, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple." And Ezekiel 43 says, "And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory." So, simply, it's the light of God. It is the essence of the glory of God that is shining here until the earth, moon, and star, or the sun, moon, and stars are made. Remember John. 1 John 1 says, "Then this is the message we have heard from him and declare unto you that God is light." So God is light himself. But there's another theory that's more plausible, I guess. It's kind of similar to the first one. You know, first we had darkness, and darkness and light mixed together. This is that God separated the darkness from the light into night and day. "Let there be light" are the first recorded words we have from God. And how does the Gospel of John begin? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So, it's a manifestation not of the glory of God, but of Christ. It is a manifestation of Christ brought forth, because he's the light of the world. So basically, those two theories are the same, because isn't Jesus the glory of God? I mean, the glory of God is Jesus, his only begotten Son, and the Savior of man. Jesus is the presence of God sent to the earth to be our Savior. So, 2 Corinthians 4, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So that's probably the best explanation for what that light is before the sun moves. The glory of God is Jesus. It is the light of the God, the triune God. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. I ask again, is darkness inherently evil? I said we have to be more specific. Physical darkness is not bad or good. It's just dark. We have a learned fear of darkness from the children's stories. We're told while growing up about all these bad things that happen in the dark. Darkness does lend itself to more evil because evil can be hidden more easily by the dark. But many evils have been committed in the light as well. However, spiritual darkness is always bad because it does not have the light of Jesus. Spiritual darkness is the absence of Jesus, so it's those who are lost. I have come as a light into the world. Whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. John 12:46. Then what about light? Physical light is almost always good. We need it to survive and prosper. Almost all life depends on it to survive and to grow, and it affects our emotional and our mental well-being. Like most things, too much is bad. It can blind us and interfere with our sleep cycles. We need to have that night-day dark-light cycle for us to remain in balance. Spiritual light is always good because it comes from God. In fact, it is God. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And also from the mouth of our Savior, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. If we follow Jesus, then we walk in light. We need to be careful. Always have to be careful. We see that darkness can be used for good by God, used to shield his people from harm. Satan can also use light or the appearance of light for evil as well. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul writes about deceitful workers transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And he also talks about Satan being able to disguise himself as an angel of light. So how do we tell what is darkness and lies, what is light and truth? The only measure we have, which is the scriptures. Some think they can follow their heart. I'll know in my heart what's right. The heart is the seat of desire, not truth, and it will lead us away. Some think they can follow their conscience. The conscience can be seared as with a hot iron, scarred and deformed. Some think they can follow their intellect, because they're smart. Satan can deceive the senses, twisting the truth, making right seem like wrong and wrong like right. Only by using the scriptures can we tell right from wrong, truth from lies, light from darkness. He who believes in him, Jesus, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So I'm going to close here. I have one final question. I do have a final question. I do. One final scripture, one final question. Isaiah 50:10. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Are you walking in darkness or are you in the light? If you do not have Jesus in your life, then you're shrouded in darkness and you're lost. There's a famous landmark we have in this country with a famous saying on it. And the last line reads, I lift my lamp beside the golden door. That is what Jesus is doing spiritually. He lifts his lamp beside a door filled with light. It invites us to come out of the darkness and into the light. You're in darkness and want to come to the light, we invite you in. Believe that Jesus is the light, the one true Son of God. Repent of your sins and confess Jesus as your Savior before men. Be buried in baptism, reborn from darkness into life, from death into eternal life. The light of Christ is offered to you as we stand and sing.